Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
I thought you managed talent.
So address her.
Don't you manage talent?
Oh, I'm not in this conversation.
Hi, Kwame.
Oh. Tire. Like a tire.
Kwame, stone boy here.
Yeah. I like his advice. And it's good. I expect our celebrities and influencers to do same so that people who are looking up to them wouldn't fall into trouble. Stay out of trouble. That is his advice.
Yeah.
But now, what is trouble? Yeah, we should understand the word trouble. Yeah.
Please define trouble for us.
Trouble.
Yeah, yes. We should understand.
Let me.
Please help me with that. Help me with that. So that we will know what to stay away from.
Okay. How it has done, no?
Yeah.
What is trouble?
Trouble refers to a state of distress, difficulty, or danger. It is a highly versatile word that can describe a problematic situation.
Problematic
situation. A physical or mental ailment, or an inconvenient effort, or even a public disturbance.
Okay, so now at least we know what Stoneboy is advising people to stay away from. How do people get trouble?
They go and find it. Because they either go and find it.
Trouble is not a human being.
No. So they go to
it's
find
a situation.
It.
Okay.
You have to search for it. And make it your friend.
No, sometimes you don't have to search for it.
Sometimes it can search you.
how can trouble search
you? I can trap you.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're somewhere.
Okay.
Yeah.
Alibi.
Well, that one too, it makes sense. It makes
sense. But I think mostly people find it.
On the percentage, high people find it.
You know, if you are stating, making a statement of fact, and someone decides to hold you on, I don't think that is trouble. Because you have proof.
Yeah.
You have evidence. Should it go to court, you know that if you get a good lawyer, you can defend yourself. But if you say something that you are not sure of, you know, in this job, sometimes you can have a lead. Somebody can give you an information. By the time you realize, your informant may not be available. So we are always advised to check, cross-check, and check again. But with the advent of social media, people are so quick to make comments about others. Sometimes you could see that clearly what they are saying is either born out of ignorance or they are just doing that out of hatred, which is against the Cybersecurity Act, which was revealed last year.
Right.
And the act makes it criminal for you to defame, mislead, or say something about somebody which is not true. When you go on our socials, me, I was happy when this issue came. And people were saying, forgive. No, he shouldn't forgive. Sometimes we should test the law. We should allow the law to work. That is why we have precedents. We have precedents because people tested the law, they pushed the law, they allowed the case to go the long haul. And for that matter, we have a case study to at least use as examples. So, BBN, how do we get precedents? We wouldn't. So sometimes, even though it might not be palatable, we should allow the law to work. Now, if you read the Cybersecurity Act, it states that if you make defamatory comment or if you even bully somebody online, depending on the gravity of what you say, you can be imprisoned. It is there. But because either by ignorance or whatever, now when you go on the socials, look at what we see. So insults. Insulting the elderly, the president, chiefs, and whatever. And it is as if there is no law. Meanwhile, there is. But if you are not caught by it, you might think that, okay, I can do it and go scot-free. Now we have one example. Let the law work. If you don't want to be in trouble, stay away from trouble. That is the advice. Now, when you go to court and you are given bail, you are discharged, but not acquitted. You can be discharged maybe because we don't have ample evidence to prove the charges against you. The court can let you go, can give you bail, discharged. But when the case is over and there is a ruling that shows that there was no case at all, then you are acquitted. That one, you are free.
Okay.
That is why you have people go to court, they are given bail, but subsequently they are imprisoned or they are fined. We should understand some of these things. So people were jubilating when all this issue came, there was a bail and all these things. If you follow proceedings, you know that these are just, you know, minute elements of the bigger case there. If the case is thrown away, then you are acquitted. You can jubilate. As it stands now, I don't see any cause for jubilation. Yes, maybe you want to see the person out, you want to see the person have a normal life and all these things. That one is there. But the case is still pending. So stay out of trouble. Being discharged does not mean you are acquitted. That is why when there is a ruling and the judge says you are acquitted and discharged, then there is a finality to the whole issue. If you don't want to go through some of these stress, some of our people, they've not been to court before. So they don't even know the wahala, the stress that goes into it, you know, especially cross-examination when you stand in the dock and you are being asked questions, very tricky questions, and you have to toss your mind around because any word that comes out from your mouth can either implicate you or help you go scot-free. So we joke, and I'm so worried when I go on the socials because the level of, sorry to use that word, tomfoolery and indiscipline is too much. We should allow the law to work, at least to bring sanity into the system.
Thank you, Edukumi. Robert?
Hello.
Somebody says, yeah, she's still out of trouble.
That's your artist.
Your artist speaking in Hayim Day accent.
Nah.
Is that American or British?
In Kia. Kia accent. Charlie, on the more serious note, I think that what he's just saying, an entire scenario basically paints that picture when we say freedom of speech is guaranteed, but not freedom after speech. You know, so we are liberty to make statements, whatever we want to make. However, there's always an element of accountability that comes with it. And I think that level of accountability has its roots even in the law. So if there's anything defamatory, obviously it's going to come back to bite you. I was just looking for a wise saying that actually sends this message home. Sends the message home. It says, before you speak, let your words pass through three gates. Is it true? Is it necessary? And is it kind? So once again, is it true? Is it necessary? Is it kind? Yes. You know, so because another one says a spoken word has no return. You know, so there are several of these things, and words and what death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those who love its food shall eat thereof. Another one in Proverbs says that if you guard your mouth or your lips, you prevent trouble from coming to you. So I think that there are quite a number of them that speaks to the fact that we need to be circumspect. you have to be silent sometimes. Sometimes, you know, what you feel, the feeling that you can't take it away, but it's the outcome of what you do with the feeling that really matters. So sometimes we think it's a joke. We just have to be careful. I mean, the conversation in itself, in terms of the details, has already been explained. So I'm just talking about how it is important for us to be able to guide and guard what we see and why we see what we see and whether it's even necessary in the first place. So essentially for me, these are the specific areas that I want to highlight. These are key, strong lessons. And the law will always have its course, so let's be careful. Especially when you have prints that cannot be erased. Because you can always retrieve them.
Yep.
Many years after, we know what happened to Kiddy. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like he was speaking. It wasn't defamatory, so the to say, but the words came back.
The likes of Simi.
Yeah. So
is
we
it
just
black voter.
That. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All of these things exist. So I think that there's a huge literature on, you know, the essence of speaking and when we should be silent and when we shouldn't be silent, and a tact even in delivering certain things so that it's not raw. So I think we all need to learn how to manage this thing called tongue.
Very, very important.
And there's something to some of the fans do on social media, and even some people do. I mean, they are making serious defamatory statements about people, and they think that just leaving some clue without mentioning the name exonerates them. I mean, you can still be charged, because if it can be identified that if not mentioned name, but this is the person you're talking about, if you look at the elements of defamation, if it can be identified, you can still be taken on for defamation. Don't think that, oh, you are leaving some clue and you are not mentioning the name, so you are free to say anything. If they can trace it, to say that this leave traces of Dorian Avio quite does, he can kill on. So don't always think that you are looking sharp not mentioning the name. I mean, I've seen instances where people are speaking and they think that they're not mentioning the name, but you can still trace it to somebody, and so that can be taken on if you look at elements of defamation.
So if you say, if there is black sheriff and it's a sheriff black,
Tally.
Sometimes you might not even mention his name, but name.
I'm just asking.
We didn't send for cry. So people should be careful.
Before we go on to the next thing, I have a comment here. It says a discharge is different.
Yeah, yeah.
Being discharged generally means the court has formally released the person from the case or from a particular charge, often because the prosecution has withdrawn the case, there is insufficient evidence, the court has dismissed the charge, or the law provides for a discharge in the circumstances. It's a bail is a temporary release while the case is still pending. Discharge is the person is released for legal proceedings or charge itself. Yeah. And then, you said due committee's explanation on discharge was inaccurate based on the law. Well, I don't know the law. So.
I wanted to come in there. Okay. Like, normally the bail is temporary release, but the discharge normally, maybe a case is going on. I'm prosecuting Robert. Mm. And I think that what I brought, the evidence are not enough. Mm. Now, I've gotten solid evidence, but because of the procedure, I may not be able to maybe add. I want to start a case afresh. I can go and enter some level of some knowledge prosecution. Then they get him discharged. So at times you can be discharged and right in front of the court, you will be arrested and they charge you again with a fresh case. So that the discharge comes in different circumstances. Maybe the prosecution also thinks that they do not have enough evidence to go on with the case. So they want to, leave the case.
You mentioned only prosequa.
Yeah, yeah. So when,
it's okay. Next
you are
time.
Prosecuting and you enter.
Yeah, we will get there.
Nobody said anything. You don't make anything.
Prosequa, we will get there next time. We are not in the law class. Mentiase, you're confusing me.
We're just discussing the charge.
The way you take, we go Noli Prosequa. You take, we go law school this morning. Okay. We're back.
Kwame, you can take this.
All right, so UNESCO, the listing threats prompts government action on forts and castles. Not long ago, we heard that we were on the verge of being delisted on UNESCO's, how do you call it, their list of heritage. And this is worrying. But President John Dramani Mahama has revealed that government is taking urgent steps to protect Ghana's forts and castles from the risk of being removed from UNESCO's World Heritage lists. Speaking during a visit to Cape Coast Castle, the president disclosed that cabinet this week considered a report detailing the deteriorating condition of several historic sites and the potential consequences of if urgent restoration works are not undertaken. He said the report presented by the Minister of Tourism, Culture and Creative Arts highlighted concerns raised by UNESCO over the state of Ghana's heritage monument. And here is President John Dramani Mahama.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Tourism is an important sector in our economy, and we're also investing in tourism in order that it can play its role in terms of our national progress. And so as part of the program, we were built to come here to the Cape Coast Castle and see the condition in which it is. As you know, it's been listed as historical heritage sites by UNESCO. And so as the minister said, we have to keep it in a certain standard so that it qualifies to be listed. And so just last week, no, actually this week on Wednesday, we held a cabinet meeting and the Minister for Tourism and Creative Arts brought a report about the state of the forts and castles and the threat by UNESCO to delist our forts and castles from the historical heritage list. And so since we're coming to Cape Coast, we put it as part of the program to come and look at the state of the castle. But I can be sure that in next year's budget, we're going to make adequate provision to restore this place so that we keep it listed as a historical site.
Wow, this is good news, because the story we heard early on was the fact that because of the buffers around the forts and castles, Cape Coast, you know, the buffers are the areas surrounding the castle where we need to protect from encroachment, from settlement and other things. And once people enter into those areas, it means that we are at risk of losing the site being listed on UNESCO's heritage list. And yeah, from the president, it means that steps are being taken to restore that. And that's good news. Adam.
I'm really happy it's reached the headquarters. Because, like, I mean, this is one of, because when it comes to heritage tourism, Ghana is one of the leading hub in the sub-region. And we've been doing well with heritage tourism. And I'm not surprised that we have a lot of visitors come from America and go to some of these heritage sites, among others. So to, I mean, get it delisted will take something away from it. Because it may mean that it has been tampered with, and you cannot be able to show people the real and the true story. And that we need to take some of this in serious. If you go to some of the sites, I mean, even if you go to this town, Elubo, there are some forts there, it's like they have been forgotten. Like, we don't pay attention to them, and people are engaging in doing them. Gadwal is here in Tutoya and Kofonia, baby, is dying. You go see now, be Kubuho base in the dying. But how is Nadi? So we need to be serious with some of these things. Because you go see now, you lose that heritage. Somebody go, Obi Tagot Hafawana, in Suibuadi Nego.
And then let's talk about being delisted from UNESCO's heritage list. What would be the consequences on us, on the castle and the fort, if that happens?
And that is what I was saying, even in layman terms.
Okay.
Certainly, what they are saying is that this thing, they encroach. People can tamper with the whole property. Mm-hmm. And when they tamper with the property and you lose some aspect of it, then it's a story going away.
What I mean is that if our name does not appear in the list,
so
the
that's the point.
How is that going to affect our tourism?
That's the point I'm driving home. Mm. That when those forts and castles, those heritage, are tampered with, it means history is being tampered with. When the history is being tampered with, it means when people come there, they will not get a true picture.
Is it okay?
You understand? So it means that also, you are losing part of your story.
Also, because once we are not listed, then people will not get to know that this facility or this site exists.
Exactly. So you are losing part of your story.
All right.
So we need to be very, very intentional about it. And I'm really, really happy that it has reached home.
All right.
And the presidency is taking this serious. We want to take see action.
Good.
So let me throw more light on this. If you read the text properly, there's a particular line that says that UNESCO conservation standards.
Mm. Yeah.
Now, if you look up the UNESCO conservation standards, they are outlined in the operational guidelines for implementation of the World Heritage Convention. Now, these are intentionally, they are internationally recognized frameworks ensured to ensure cultural and natural landmarks are preserved with scientific rigor, structural integrity, and deep respect for historical authenticity. So I'm looking up, and it says that there are just four core areas. And it says here that one is authenticity and integrity. Now, here it says the heritage sites must retain their original historical material and design values. Restorations should respect the original craftsmanship and materials rather than relying on modern reconstruction that obscure history.
Mm.
So that is one of the requirements. So even if you are doing an update or upgrade or whatsoever it is, you have to always remain true to the original historical information. Then the second one says management and planning. Sites must have comprehensive management plans in place, which detail how the site's outstanding universal value is protected from environmental threats, urbanization, and mass tourism. So that is core point two. And the third one is buffer zone. So this one connects directly to
the buffer
conversation.
All right.
You know,
all right.
Surrounding areas, that is buffer zones, are strictly designated to protect their property from external threats and then from development and visual intrusions. So that's what the essence of the buffer zone is. So you create that to be able to protect the integrity of the place, you know. And then the last one is international cooperation. The framework relies on standardized global policies and continuous monitoring by the UNESCO World Heritage Center and partners like ICCROM. And it goes on and on and on. So essentially, I think that to be delisted means that you have not worked with these elements.
Mm.
And if that is what it means, then it means that anybody who understands what it means to be delisted simply means that the integrity of the place is not kept.
Yeah.
And if it's not kept, then it's no longer offering the heritage value that it's supposed to offer.
Mm.
And there are threats to it and all of that. So if all of these things exist, then really, when people come there, the value of heritage is not available anymore. And once it is not available, what's the point?
Yeah.
You are no longer fit for purpose. And if you are not fit for purpose, then there is no longer historical value, and there's no heritage value. And obviously, you cannot be a site that people should be able to go to.
Consequently, it affects the tourism.
Yes. Yeah. So then it's no longer. So if, unless you want to advertise fake places for people to come to, you know, essentially, yeah.
Brad Kumi.
Yeah. I was just reading something here.
Good.
If you get delisted,
mm-hmm.
some of the effects or the consequences that comes with it, severe economic impact. Delisting could drastically reduce international visitor numbers and tourism revenue. We know the role tourism plays in our economic life and loss of global prestige. Losing world heritage status diminishes the international recognition of these sites as holding outstanding universal values. So that one too is the effect that comes with it. And end of international funding. So there are funding that you get if you are listed. If you get delisted, what it means is that you are losing those funds.
And it could also be that you, the money that you collected that you are going to use to save the place,
you didn't use it. Yes. You didn't use it. So, even under the funding, you realize that they have grants, technical expertise, and partners dedicated to preserving global heritage. So you lose all these things.
Right.
And looking at the role tourism plays, we can't just sit down for all these things to happen because we need to have that prestige so that more people will come. And when you read further, it talks about, you know, losing connection with the people in the diaspora. And we had the Joseph Project and Panafest and all these things. The Year of Return and all these things. So we have more to lose if we don't do our work right. That is why I'm happy that the president himself, who pledged to be an ambassador for the creative arts, is leading that course so that we can. I know some time back I knew that some of these forts and castles, there were even leakages, roof leakages and all these things. Yeah, during the previous government's era, and they were planning to, you know, refurbish the places and all these things. So now that the president is in, I pray that we would look at that side too, knowing the value it comes with it, so that at the end of the day we can get the full benefit of, you know, what we get from tourism. So it's good. It's good.
All right.
But speaking is different. Actions speaks louder than words.
Sharp.
So yes, he said it is good, but we want to see it being done, so that it wouldn't be just words of math. Because we are here, yet we've heard a lot of promises, but when it comes to implementation, it becomes a different thing altogether. Yesterday we were talking about the Gari and the Conti projects and all these things. All these things came, but we didn't see anything being done. I'm just praying.
You wait until you actually go to Amidazi's page and you go and see what he posted. A discussion about how much money has been spent so far in the space. You realize that yesterday's conversation was just a drop in an ocean.
Yes, we're
almost $1 billion from 2000 to 2024.
Yes. So that one there.
Hey.
That one, let's relax on that one. That one, it needs proper touch screen analysis.
Yes.
But so the question I want to ask is, on the back of what you said, who... this particular, which agency is responsible for this particular area?
Museums and Monuments
Board. Yeah,
it falls under that.
Has there been any official response?
Nope.
Any reaction?
Not that I've seen.
I think these are agencies that we don't usually hear of in terms of.
I think last time we had that discussion.
What their plans are, how, you know, the number of forts and castles they have. Strategies for increasing numbers, visitation. I don't know. We don't really hear much. So
maybe we should get to them. The previous administration, I know that the CEO was media friendly and he would come here, would go to other places and all these things. But with these people, I've not heard from them. So I don't know what they are doing.
I think it is important that we hear from them, especially when you check on the site visitation in terms of the reports that we got.
That is what I'm looking at right now.
Yeah, their ranking is not the best, right?
They are fourth. They were fifth last year, the year before, and then fifth 2023. But they are fourth this time around.
Okay.
With 141,500.
So there's actually an improvement.
An improvement.
All right.
So they overtook who?
So this is Cape Coast Castle.
Oh, this is just Cape Coast.
This is Cape Coast Castle alone.
Okay. Oh, okay.
But it's Cape Coast Castle. Yeah.
I think our time is up. Black is just around the corner already. Thank you so much, gentlemen. Robert, thank you. Edukumi, thank you, Adam, as well. Thank you to you all for doing the listening. Thank you, Mr. Hagler, for production supported by Nathaniel and social media handled by Cyril. And also thank you to you, DJ Fantastic. You still made time to come here. We're grateful. Thank you so much. Up next is Music Box with DJ Black. I'm Doreen Avu.
I'm coming, Aziz.
Enjoy the rest of our programs.
Start your Sunday the right way with